So we have gathered again tonight to continue our celebration, our liturgy of the salvation. That liturgy began yesterday and it will be ended tomorrow. So if you have noticed, last night the liturgy was finished but without the blessing at the end. And today we began the liturgy without this typical beginning with the sign of the cross. And also there'll be no this typical ending of this liturgy with a blessing. And tomorrow morning, and tomorrow evening, tomorrow night, also will begin the liturgy without this typical sign of the cross at the beginning. And that means that these 3 days make up one liturgical celebration spread over these 3 days. But it is one celebration, one liturgy, in which we relive the mystery of our salvation and in which we wish to worship God, praise Him, and open ourselves to all the graces He wishes to grant us. So today, Friday, we contemplate the Passion of Jesus Christ. What is that Passion of Christ all about and His death? Is it only about suffering? Or there is something else in that Passion of Jesus? So Jacques Verlaine, he's a Belgian, now he's priest, he's the founder of a family of Saint Joseph in the southern France. So he is now over 80 years old. He was born in 1947, and in 1968, he was about 20 years old. He was a very devout Catholic. He loved Jesus very much. He had a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And he himself said that his best memories from his childhood was when he was spending the time with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, adoring Him in the Blessed Sacrament. At the age of 20, he was already working as a researcher in nuclear chemistry, and he was making his doctorate. And it was a time, 1968, in France and in Europe, of the Cultural Revolution, and any kind of authority was questioned, but especially the authority of the Church. So as a young Catholic, he felt that pressure. And very often he was told, if you truly want to be free, if you truly want to be fully human, if you truly want to be yourself, you have to leave out the Church, leave out your faith and your religion. Only then you can be truly free. Just forget about this authoritarian God. And so he tried to resist, but eventually he gave in to that pressure and he left the Church. One day he decided not to go to Holy Mass anymore. And as he himself says, he remembered so well that it was very difficult for him. He felt very sad, he felt very bad, but still he decided not to go to church anymore. But then he felt emptiness. So he decided to look for some other kind of spirituality. And so it happened that he came across a poster of a guru, a Hindu guru who was the founder of transcendental meditation. And also he later on became a guru of a Beatle, of the Beatles. So he joined that guru. He left his job, his research, he finished his doctorate, and he went to India, and he became the disciple of that guru. That means that he lived almost day and night. He was at the disposal of that guru. And at the same time, he practiced Hinduism, Buddhism. He studied Hinduism and Buddhism, and he practiced very advanced exercises, yoga exercises, in the Hindu ashrams, in the Hindu monasteries in High Tibet. And he says that when he was practicing yoga, several times he experienced what they call nirvana. Nirvana is the highest state, it is the goal of Hindu and Buddhist spirituality. It is a state when you do not feel any suffering. And so Jacques Verlaine said that it was truly fascinating to be in that state, no more suffering. He said no more suffering because there was no more self. Because the purpose of yoga is to just do away with my I, myself. And then if no, there is no self, there is not the one who can suffer. But after some time, he realized that there was something missing. And then he realized that it is true, there was no more suffering, but also there was no more love. Because there was no more that self that could love. Because it is only I who can love, only I who can suffer. And so he had to make a choice, a very fundamental choice. Either I will choose life without suffering, but at expense of love. That the most beautiful relationship that can be experienced by man, when two persons give each other, give themselves to each other, and they create communion. So either I will have life without suffering at expense of love, or I will choose love. But also I will have to accept suffering that will accompany that love. And so he left Hinduism, he left his guru, he left Buddhism, he came back to Europe, back to Christianity, back to Jesus Christ. So today's day, today, the passion of Jesus Christ is not primarily about suffering. It is about love. Love that is accompanied by suffering. Because in this form of life, here on earth, there is no love without suffering. Love without suffering is in heaven. When we enter the kingdom of God, when we enter the union, communion of the Most Holy Trinity, there will be no more suffering. But here, in this form of life, in our state, love is always accompanied by suffering, because our love can be rejected, our self-giving can be despised, and that is the suffering. So what Jesus reveals in the Passion, he reveals the fullness of divine love, the love that doesn't stop even in the midst of suffering, love that cannot be changed even by enormous suffering, love that is faithful to the very end. But also today, the Passion of Jesus is the fruit of that love, the fruit of Jesus' love for the Father, his love for the will of the Father, and his love for God's children, for us, for each one of us. So it is what the Passion of Jesus, this account of his Passion and death on the cross, is all about. About the love that is not afraid of suffering, that can face even suffering and will still continue to love. The word love, nowadays, it is the word most used, misused, abused, and distorted. Because when we think about love, I mean, I believe that all of us want to love, want to be loved. But I think most of us, we are looking for love without suffering. It is where we are at in our culture, in our days. Why is it so? It is because the impression and the belief and conviction of most people today is that suffering is the worst evil, the only evil that should be fought against. Suffering, physical, mental suffering, not sin, which also brings about suffering, spiritual, but we usually don't feel it, we don't see it. That's why most people think that this physical and mental suffering is the worst evil that should be avoided, should be get rid of. And that's why we have come up with so many inventions to get rid of suffering. One of them, and it's wonderful, is anesthetics. And thanks be to God for that. But there are other inventions to get rid of suffering. Abortion, euthanasia, yoga, drugs, and many other things. All of that because we don't want to suffer, because we're afraid of suffering, because we think it's the worst thing. And it comes to the point that sometimes even children, grown-up children, they see the parents terminally ill and suffering. They just don't know how to handle it. They cannot bear it. And so, as they say, they put them to sleep. They don't call it a murder, just they put them to sleep to help them, to spare them suffering. It is how our culture tries to separate as if purify love from suffering. But at the same time, as they try to avoid suffering, they bring about so much suffering that even we cannot imagine, like abortion, yes, so much suffering of the unborn, and many other cases. And there are many, many other ways that we find, that we invent just to avoid suffering. So the Passion of Jesus Christ also reveals something else. It reveals the truth about us, the truth about our inability to respond to Jesus, to the love of God, our inability to be faithful in loving God and in loving our neighbors. And it is what causes this drama of losing God in our lives. It is what is called in the Bible sin, the deprivation of the life of God. When we cannot respond to the love of God, we despise His will, His commandments, because they seem to be too demanding, because we have to sacrifice too much to love Him and to follow Him. And that's why is the cross of Jesus, His passion. Because deep down, we are rebellious, we are selfish, and we cannot respond to that love of God. So the Passion of Jesus reveals the reality of evil that is real in the world, is real in our lives. And that reality cannot be ignored. It has to be faced and addressed. Only then we can be truly saved, redeemed, and healed. We can truly be free, and we can truly be what we are supposed to be, fully human persons. When we face that, of course, we cannot face it by ourselves, that evil. This is why God comes into the scene. God who becomes man, who becomes flesh, and He faces and addresses the evil on the cross. So in the Passion of Jesus, it is the human evil, wickedness, sinfulness, and the holiness of God in Jesus Christ that meet together. That the holiness of God, the sanctity of God, this perfect love, the purest love of God, touches human weaknesses, sinfulness, wickedness, and purifies and transforms. So the cross, the Passion of Jesus also reveals how God saves us and offers us new life. Because the love of God, His holiness is so perfect, that's why He's stronger than human wickedness. And if that love is accepted by us, then we can receive completely new life. That is the condition, that love of Jesus must be accepted, must be received. And then Jesus takes us along with His humanity, and He offers Himself perfectly to the Father in a perfect love, faithful love. And that love, that perfect response to the love of God now is possible for us. That communion with God And true worship is possible to us, but only in Jesus Christ. So how can we receive Jesus Christ? Through the sacraments. That's why this Triduum is also about sacraments, baptism, the Eucharist. Because through the sacraments, baptism and the Holy Eucharist, in a special way, we are allowed to participate in that power of Jesus, in his holiness, in that perfect love. We can be penetrated by him and transformed within. So that's why it is so important for us to realize that sacraments, they're not just empty rituals, but it is truly the work of God. And so the more consciously, the more with deeper surrender and trust, we give ourselves to God in that act of love, the more we can be purified, strengthened, sanctified. And that love of Jesus can be also be made present in us. We can be enabled to love the way Jesus loves, to love with his love. So in a moment, we will adore the cross of Jesus. I mean, the cross is a symbol of Jesus' passion, the symbol of Jesus' love. So at that moment, it is so very important for us to realize the cross is about the love of Jesus. So Jesus, give me your love. Renew in me the graces of my baptism. Renew in me the graces of confirmation and all the sacraments. Renew in me your holiness. And then later on, we'll also receive our Lord truly present in the Holy Eucharist. And again, we can say the same prayer. Jesus, renew in me your holiness. Stay in me, love in me, live in me, because without you I can do nothing. And the last thought. So now the role, I mean the essence of our life, Christian life, is to enter into that mystery of the cross so that we can be consumed by the love of Jesus. And then our life will be the proclamation of that mystery to others.